Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it looks like Bill O'Reilly might be on his way out this morning. I know that that'll really be terrible to happen, because who will be looking out for us if that happens? But I don't know if you followed the story. You know, Bill's been running around being led by his smaller brain, if you know what I'm talking about. He settled a lawsuit of $13 million. He's already paid out for sexual harassment. Now, I'm going to pause right there a second, because it's easy for a guy in a position of power to be charged with sexual harassment. We know that. But he's certainly smarter than that, isn't he? Not to put himself in a position where he could be accused of it. But he's paid out $13 million. He's got some more that are doing it. They now have private investigators that are digging into O'Reilly, see exactly what's going on there. And by the way, Bill O'Reilly just took a vacation. He's going to go on a long planned vacation from Fox News. And hopefully they'll get him out there, maybe on a cruise ship someplace, and they'll unspin him, because the spin stops where he is, and he's obviously spinning. And I'm going to tell you this. I will rejoice the day Bill O'Reilly is gone, because he has led more conservatives, if I can use that word. He's led more conservatives astray than God. I don't even know who on TV has led more conservatives astray. So, Coach, how can you say that? Well, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Bill O'Reilly is not a born-again, saved man. He's a practicing Catholic. Well, he's a Catholic. I don't know if he's a practicing Catholic. And I'm not trying to disparage my Catholic friends out there, but the average Catholic's not born again. Catholics believe the only way you can get to heaven is through the church. That's what they believe. It's Jesus plus this. Evangelicals, or Protestants, I hate that word, they believe that Jesus is the way. Sola scriptura. Scripture alone. So Bill O'Reilly, sorry for Bill O'Reilly today, and he's out spinning around someplace. We'll watch that one, see how that one plays out. Again, remember when they thought, boy, if they lose Megyn Kelly, if Fox News loses Megyn Kelly, their prime leader, what are they going to do? Well, they stuck Tucker Carlson in there, and he's almost doubled. He's almost doubled Megyn Kelly. So, Fox News, I always spell Fox News, F-A-U-X, Fox, fake news, because it certainly isn't, as they say, fair and balanced. And as I've tried to tell people, anyone who will listen to me, there is no two sides to the truth. The truth is never fair and balanced. The truth is the truth. It stands alone. And see, because of that attitude of the fair and balanced truth, because of what Bill O'Reilly has spun our way, we now see Christians who's thinking, well, we need to see both sides of it. And I agree, we need to see both sides of it. But there ain't two sides to killing a baby. There's no two sides to marriage. There's no two sides to whether homosexuality is okay or not okay. There's no two sides to it. But Bill O'Reilly's given us that, because it's a no-spin zone, and he has one person sit on his right side that's for gay marriage, and one that sits on the other side that's against gay marriage, and then the spin stops where he is, and you watch his show. When the show's over, you're more lost than when you started. We need to begin to really, really focus in on making sure that we get our information and our news from people who are born again in the Spirit of God. Until we do that, we're going to find ourselves lost in a lot of ways, okay? So that's why we're here today, because, man, have I got some stuff to dump in your lap. Hey, I'm not a very good businessman, and I want to tip my cap to Sarge, Kevin up there in Maine, who keeps me on track. Folks, May 19th and 20th, we spoke about it right at the end yesterday. Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli are going to come to the Newark, Ohio area. And when we were in Dallas, I spoke to L.A. about the Newark Earthworks, which it was amazing, because I was sitting there, and L.A. was making his presentation to the 750 people. And the next thing you know, is up on the screen is the Newark, Ohio Earthworks. It's 6 minutes from my house, the Newark, Ohio Earthworks. And L.A. was talking about, you know, how they'd been built. It clearly wasn't the Indians. It was the Nephilim and all that kind of stuff. And so I didn't corner him. But afterwards, I said, man, L.A., I can't believe you put that up there. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, that's where we are. That's where we're going to be. He says, I know. He said, let's take a field trip. Let's take the people to the earthworks, and we'll show them exactly what happened there, how those things were made. We'll do a teaching there. I thought, wow, that's going to be awesome. So that's May 19th and 20th. Although, for those of you who are making plans, L.A. wants to go to the Newark Earthworks Sunday morning. That's what he would like to do. And so if you're making your plans, flying in or driving in or whatever, you may not want to fly out or drive out till the afternoon on Sunday. Now, it's $29, which is nothing. We have to charge something because we have expenses. Our L.A. and his wife have to fly in. We put him up in a hotel, yada, yada, yada. And we try to give him a little bit of a honorarium for doing it. May 19th and 20th. It's the first one I know of that you can camp at. We have a campground that's available. Hotels, which, you know, there just aren't a whole lot of hotels out here. So it may take you 15 or 20 or 25 minutes to drive from a hotel to the site. But there really isn't a whole lot we can do about it. That's the reality of it. But we can put you up on campgrounds. All that information is available at CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. We'd love for you to come. And L.A. and Russ are both down-to-earth guys. Will look you in the eye and tell you the way it is. Sarge, you have anything to add to all that? I don't mean to nothing to add. It's all there at Coach Dave Live. Right, Sarge? Thumbs up. So go there. May 19th and 20th. I'm telling you, man, my schedule is really, really bumping up. We're going to be down in Savannah, Georgia. Heard from my buddy Michael. I think it's the 23rd. I'll get that checked out. We're coming down there. And as I've said before, we'd love to come to your town. We'd love to come to your town. You got to invite us. We don't charge a great big fee to come. And we would love to come and try to wake up your men, shake up your men. It's hard to find a pastor who's brave enough to let us do it. So that's one of the things that you're going to have to fight with. Questions, comments from anybody sitting out there in the peanut gallery, anybody in the queue, anything that you'd like to bring up? Suck on a piece of candy here this morning. Cool. Serpent Mound. That's right. Sarge put it up there, May 19th through the 21st. If you want to see what we're talking about, just Google Newark, N-E-W-A-R-K, like Newark, New Jersey. Newark Earthworks. That's all you got to do. Google. There'll be all kinds of information on there. But again, the information we have on the Newark Earthworks, it's not correct information. It's the Hopewell Indians, they tell us. L.A. says, oh, no, it's clearly Nephilim. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, boy, be with us May 19th and 20th. I hear somebody trying to get in here. Yeah, Chad.
Coach, the Georgia stuff is 28th and 29th.
28th and 29th. The 28th and 29th in Georgia, we're going to be down there. Of April. Yeah. So again, hey, listen, folks, if this stuff isn't up to date on the website, it's my fault. It's not Sarge. He does a great job of updating that. Jared, they do a great job. In my life, as crazy as this sounds, I'm a last minute guy. I work off of momentum. I always look a week ahead on my schedule, and I don't always give enough lead time to some of you out there. So I tried to do the best I could there this morning with that. Cool. Okay, so let's move in. Let's move into some stuff here. It's probably going to get us in a little bit of trouble, but it's okay. You like my glasses? Rich is making fun of them. They don't have these great big frames like the other one. I found these. I was cleaning out my car, and I found them in my car. So I'll wear those. I look a little bit more hip, but I don't have to take them on and off all the time. Not as vain. I'm not going to talk. No, I'm not going to talk about that guy got dragged off the plane. I am not going to talk about that. No. Couldn't care less, and you shouldn't either. It's part of the mind manipulation that they're giving you, see? Anything they can do to distract you from what's really going on. And now we're worried about some dude that wouldn't get off of a plane. I fly all the time. All the time. I fly United Airlines. I've never seen anybody get dragged off of the plane before. Never. Never. Why? Because the average person gets up and leaves. Right? But now it's the biggest news in the history of the world, this dude. We are not going to talk about it here. And we're not going to talk a whole lot about the war in Syria. It's not a war yet. Hey, folks. They're manipulating us, okay? I don't know what they're manipulating us to, but they are manipulating us to something. And let's do this, okay? Let's give Donald Trump a little bit more credit than what people have been giving him. I don't think this dude's, hey, if I can figure it out, if Chad can figure it out, come on, Chad. He sees some things that put off some whistles in his head. You don't think, come on. All the intel that they have, something is going on. I don't know. You know, China's rushing in with all their 150,000 people. And although, did you see last night, China told North Korea to chill. Something's going on here. Okay? I don't know what it is. I'm troubled that I don't have my finger on it. But we'll get our finger on it. And I would say this, keep your eye on the ball. Do not be distracted. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes we're not aware. Anybody want to chip in here? Chad, I made fun of you. You want to chip in here and clear your name up here real quick?
No, that was great.
Okay, cool. Cool. So let's poke some folks in the eye, okay? We started on it the other day, and I was really surprised at the response I got. I got a lot of good response. I didn't get one negative comment the other day. Now, I am worried about this. I'm worried about YouTube censoring us, and I'm worried about Facebook doing whatever Facebook does, censoring us, because we're going to touch a topic again today that I think we have to, guys, we got to come to grips with this thing. We have got to come to grips with it. And I went through the whole litany the other day, and let me do it again, just as a primer to anybody who didn't watch this show the other day. I can argue with a black man and not be anti-black. I can argue with a guy from Germany and not be anti-German. I can argue with a guy from China and not be anti-Chinese. I can argue with somebody who is gay and not be anti-gay. I can argue with somebody who is for abortion and not be anti, not want to kill abortions, okay? I can argue with somebody who's from Africa and not be anti-African. I can argue with somebody who might be for the Michigan Wolverines and not be anti-Michigan. Are you with me? So I can talk about the Jews and not be anti-Semitic, okay? Are we all okay on that? Because the way I get it, Chad, can you please pull that? No, I'm not Chad. Jared, let's do this again, even though we've done it 100 times, Jared. Pull up Semitic again for us. So everybody, Rich, I'm just trying to disarm him. I hear what's coming my way, okay? And it's coming my way because people are misinformed and unlearned. And the scripture says, foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strifes. So Jared's pulled up over on the side for us. Semitic, okay? Relating to or denoting a family of languages that includes Hebrew, Arabic, and Aramaic, and certain ancient languages such as Phoenician, Akkadian, constituting the main subgroup of the Afro-Asiatic family. Whoa! Afro. I always thought that was one of those things you wore on top of your head called hair. I thought that was an Afro. Does Afro refer to African, you think? Anyway, two says relating to peoples who speak the Semitic languages, especially Hebrew and Arabic. Well, that was a lot of people, man. The Jews weren't the only ones over in the Middle East. So everybody, if I'm reading this, somebody help me out. Maybe it's smarter than me. Is this referring to the people in the Middle East who spoke Hebrew and Arabic? Is it referring only to the Jews? George, can you help me? Can anybody help me here? Because sometimes maybe I'm not real smart. Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Jared, go down to dictionary.com. Pop on that one right below there. Let's see what it says. Guys, I'm building a base here. Stay with me. What's this say, Jared? Semitic from the dictionary.com. A subfamily of Afro-Asiatic languages that include Akkadian, Arabic, Aramaic, Ethiopic, Hebrew, and Phoenician, of or relating to the Semites or their languages, especially, of or pertaining to the Jews. So somebody took the word Semitic and they reconstituted it. Oh, Jared, while I'm talking, I wonder if you could do this, Jared. Go to Webster's old dictionary. His original, what was it, 1826, whatever. Go to Webster's original dictionary, and let's see what it says about Semitic. I haven't even checked this. I don't know what's there. But I understand this. If you change the words, you change the world. Change the words, change the world. Original definition. Jared's working on it right here for us. Sorry, not trying to make you bored. I'm trying to make a point. Jared's got that still. He's still working. Change the words, change the world. You with me? Maybe I should have given you a little bit more time here, Jared. There he's searching it. Semitic. This is from what dictionary? 18, long time ago. Is anything coming up?
Hey, while he's waiting on that, we just got to remind folks to share this with on their Facebook, on their social media and stuff. The program. Share the program.
Yeah, share this. Share. That's the only way people are going to get it. Jared didn't even find Semitic in the dictionary back in those days. There, now try it again, Jared. See where we get. Maybe there wasn't a word such as Semitic. Okay, so anyway, somewhere along the line, being Semitic became synonymous with being Jewish, and they're not the same. Okay? So therefore, in today's culture, if you speak against the Jews, hey, yeah, Jared, try Semite, S-E-M-I-T-E. See what you come up with. See what that comes up with in the dictionary here. There it is. No, it says cemeterian. Hey, that didn't help us. Yeah, George, or whoever that was.
Yeah, Coach, the word Semite also comes from the word Shem. Which Shem
descendants
was
of
the
Shem.
Son, of which Shem. Abraham came from. Abraham, and then, so it has to do with that son of Noah, the Shemites.
So here's what I'm trying to get, George. Anti-Semitic is a made-up word. Semitic does not refer only to the Jews. It's a made-up word. To be anti-Semitic now is to be anti-Jewish. In fact, Jared, after all that chasing around, let's go back to the original. And for those who just begin to follow this, type in anti-Semitic. We now know Semitic is related to the people in that area of northern Africa into Europe. Anti-Semitic now, look at this. Hostile to or prejudiced against Jews. Hey, Weaver, what's that? What just happened there, Roger? What just happened? They changed some words on us, didn't they? So when they get ready to send me all these things that I'm anti-Semitic, it's a made-up word. It's a made-up word. The Jews aren't Semites. They're a part of Semites. They're partly Semitic. But they're not exclusive. This is an overkill. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? You with me here? So when they said, look over here on the related searches on this thing over here. Anti-Semitic slaveries. How did anti-Semitism begin? Examples of anti-Semitism. What is anti-Semitic people, Semitic tribes? Oh. Hey, Jared, click on Semitic people there a minute. Let's see what that gives us. In the Semitic peoples, in the study of linguistics and ethnology, the term Semitic was first used to refer to a family of languages native to West Asia, the Middle East, a language involved and spread to Asia Minor, North Africa, the Horn of Africa, Malta, and are now referred to cumulative languages as the Semitic languages. Okay? The Jews are not the Semites. The Jews are not the Semites. If I'm... Okay, with me? Cool. Let's get away. I'm going to get buried on this. Here's question number two I'm going to ask you as we dig into this stuff here. Is being a Jew, are Jews, see, that term, boy, that term right there, just that word. When you say that word Jew, boy, our ears perk up. What's he going to say next? It's going to be bad. It's going to be anti-Semitic what he says. How do we identify? Let's ask ourselves this very simple question. I want to hear from you. I want an opinion, okay? Not from all of you, but somebody who thinks they know. To be Jewish, is that a religion or is it a race? I'm waiting. Pretty big question. That's a pretty important question I just asked there. To be an American. To be an American, look, to be a Christian, is that a religion or a race?
Religion.
It's a religion. So if Christianity is a religion, Jewish is a religion. Yes or no? It's not a race. How do I know it's not a race? Can somebody tell me how I know it's not a race?
Why do they use the word Judaism instead of Jewish?
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Judaism is a proper term for religion.
That's right. Judaism, right?
Proper term for religion.
Okay.
But when you're talking about individual people, then you've got a different set of circumstances.
Okay, so let me ask this here, boys and girls. Can you convert to Judaism?
Yes, you can.
You can. So therefore, what is Judaism? It's a religion. I can't convert to African American. I can't convert to Chinese. I can't do that. I'm born what I am. So therefore, Jews, Judaism, whatever term you want to use. Wait, oh, I'm going to show you something here. Sit tight. Because Judaism, Judeans were at one time a race of people. But then somewhere along the line, it became a religion. A religion you could convert to. Sammy Davis Jr. You guys remember him? He was a Jewish convert. Black Sammy Davis Jr. became a Jew. So let's settle this right now, that no longer do you have to be born a Jew to be a Jew. Are we okay with that? Everybody okay with that? Cool. Well, let's dig in here.
Hey, Dave, first,
yeah.
Corinthians 1:23 says that it's a belief system. Jewish, Greeks, Christians, it's a belief system.
Oh, 1 Corinthians 1:23. Oh, yeah, 23 and 24. Hey, good catch there, Rich. Good catch. Let's start with, remember when this is being written. They may have been a race at that time. There may have been a race. Remember, Jesus had to get a perfect bloodline through, right? He had to get a perfect bloodline through. So there was a race of people. We're going to go there, Wise, and here in a second, okay? Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, which unto the Jews is a stumbling block, and unto the Greek is foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So in other words, Paul right there identifies Judaism as a religion. Paul was a Jew. In fact, he said he was the Jew of Jews, doesn't he? Okay, we're doing good? Doing good? Hey, Jared, let's click on number two up there. I have two of them and say 12 tribes. Click on the second one. I Googled this morning. What are the 12 tribes? Stop a minute. How many Christians do you think right now could name you the 12 tribes of Israel? 0.001%, right? 12 tribes. We don't even know who the 12 tribes of Israel were. So when we talk about Israel, we don't even know what we're talking about, to be honest with you. Well, here's the answer from God Questions. The 12 tribes of Israel came from the 12 sons of Israel. Israel is the name that God gave Jacob. You get that? Jacob was named Israel. Israel came out of, that name came out of nowhere other than God called him Jacob. Said, okay, your name is now Israel. And he had 12 sons. Following this? This is important. So his 12 sons were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. That can all be found in Genesis and Exodus. Those were his 12 sons. Those were Jacob's 12 sons. That comprised Israel. When the tribes inherited the promised land, Levi's descendants did not receive a territory for themselves. That's Joshua 4:13-14. Instead, they became priests and had several cities scattered throughout all of Israel. Joseph's tribe was divided into two. Jacob had adopted Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and essentially giving Joseph a double portion for his faithfulness in saving the family from famine. That's in Genesis 47. This means the tribes who received territory in the promised land were Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. In some places in the scripture, the tribe of Ephraim is referred to as the tribe of Joseph. I know this is confusing. We're talking about a family here, boys. Are you with me? We're talking about a family. They're all born into the same family. Ain't nobody converted to Judaism yet. After King Solomon died, Israel split into two kingdoms. Judah to the south included Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other tribes combined to make the kingdom of Israel in the north. So we have the northern tribe and the southern tribe. But Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians, and most of the Israelites were either killed or deported, and the Israelites who remained were most likely integrated with the kingdom of Judah. They began to inbreed. Are you with them here? Watch this. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Paul was from Benjamin. John the Baptist was a Levite. These are cousins. They're all the same family. But since the diaspora, or the spreading of them in AD 70, identifying the tribe of a modern Jew is a little more difficult. I'd say so. They got spread throughout the world and they interbred. A little more difficult. That doesn't mean that the tribal divisions are irrelevant. During the tribulation, remember, your theology shapes everything you believe. During the tribulation, when most of the world has abandoned God and is following the Antichrist, 144 Jews will be sealed by God. This number comprises 12,000 from each tribe. So even if we don't know who is in what tribe, God has kept track. The tribes are listed again in Revelation 8, but they're not the same tribes that were given in Joshua. Manasseh is there, Ephraim under Joseph's name, but instead of Dan and Levi is included, there's no expression as to why. Here's the point I'm trying to make. All of this Judaism, all of this came from Abraham, who had two sons, and then the two sons had a bunch of kids. And the kids were who? I wouldn't pass tests because I don't know their names. Scroll up for me, Jared. Excuse me. There you go, all at the top. So who were they? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who was Jesus? The root of who? The tribe of Benjamin? Okay. You with me? So these kids, these kids were all born. They began to have families. And all of a sudden, they get spread throughout the world in what's called the diaspora in AD 70. Remember when Jesus came? When Jesus came, he said that the temple was destroyed. He said there's not going to be one stone left upon another. It's going to remain. Why? Because Jesus was the fulfillment of the Messiah who came through. So therefore, that bloodline was no longer necessary. Does anybody need to correct me on anything? And I'm saying that honestly. Am I misstating or saying something wrong? That when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD and they were all dispersed, that was basically the end, how do I say this, of the pure bloodline of Jesus. People, God is no longer a respecter of persons. He loves the Gentile meaning unsaved, as much as he loves the Jew. There is no respecter of persons. There is no such thing. There's no such thing as a messianic Jew any more than there's a messianic German or a messianic British or a messianic African. We've only been programmed that they are. Okay? Tim put over on the side Romans 9:6. Not all Israel's Israel. We talked about that the other day. Romans 9:7. The children of the promise. Am I making sense? See, I'm making sense to me. Are you guys following me? Does anybody have a question right here? Because this is so crucial. Now think about this a minute. Yes.
In lay terms, tell me again why it's crucial.
Because we are believing that these people who are calling themselves Jews today are of the lineage of Jesus, and they are not.
Didn't we talk months ago about many of them are from Russian Jews?
Well, Roger, funny you should say that, because I'm going to show you something right here that's going to begin to introduce us to that, see? Okay? What happened in the diaspora? I got a lot of information here. What was the diaspora? Jared, go down there. It says diaspora. It's 5 minutes. I want us to see this. And all the diaspora was is all the people, this family, they got booted out of their country. And when they got booted out of their country, they went to other parts of the world and lived their life. Time out a minute. Hey, Rich, I'm going to pick on you. What can you tell me, Rich, about your great, great grandpa?
Nothing.
Sarge, how about you? What do you know about your great, great grandpa?
He's buried in a cemetery about 5 miles from my house. That's it.
That's all you know about him? Roger, what do you know about your great-great-grandpa? Not much, right? Say, Coach, what's the point you're making? The points I'm making is it only takes a generation, sometimes only one, two generations. You don't even know your ancestors. We don't even know them. So you take the Jews, you take these 12 tribes, and you disperse them. Do you think they lose their heritage and their lineage? Do you think they have any idea? Do you think that they're being faithful and intermarrying? And do you think they're seeing out some other pretty chicks out of some other tribe that they go? Is there mixing a tribe? Well, come on. How stupid are you? Of course that happens. It happens in every I don't want to use the term race, but every family of God that there is, it happens. That they interbreed. Okay? So what happened for over thousands and thousands of years? They interbred. Who did? The 12 tribes. They interbred. That's why today you could go do a blood test and you couldn't find a DNA Jew. You couldn't find one. Well, you could, but you couldn't because it's all now mixed blood. Why? Well, Jesus mixed all of us, didn't he? So this is just a 5-minute quick video. I don't know if you watched the whole thing on the diaspora. So you understand what we're talking about. What happened to the Jews? Go ahead. I don't even want to use that term. That's almost made up too. Go ahead.
In this video, we will be discussing the Jewish diaspora, the three diasporas that we have discussed so far in Jewish history. Diaspora is a Greek word that means scattered. In Hebrew, we know this word as galut. So the Jewish diaspora refers to the movement of the Jews out of their homeland to different locations throughout the world. And we know that throughout history, the Jews were forced from their homeland several times by different conquering empires. We had the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Romans. They all played a major part in scattering the Jews to nations all over the earth. So in this first map over here, we see the first diaspora, the first exile of the Jews from the northern kingdom of Israel in the year 722. They were exiled the northern kingdom by the king Shalmaneser of Assyria.
He calls out Jared.
Israel. And he,
at this point, guys, they are still a race. Are you with me? They're still a race. The Jewish race, the 12 tribes are being scattered and spread. They are a race of people, like you would have black people or Italian people or German people. They are at this point a race and a faith. Okay, go ahead.
He exiled what we know today as the 10 lost tribes into Assyria and into the surrounding Middle East countries. The second diaspora, which means the second exile, was when the southern kingdom of Judah of Israel was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar into the Euphrates River Valley, into Babel. The Jews at that time all went together to Babylon. Israel was left desolate and uninhabited, with just a few poor people there, but most of the Jews went all to Babylon, and they built a community there, and they built a life there. As we know from the prophet Yirmiyahu, his words, the Jews eventually returned from Babel under the edict of King Cyrus of Persia. They returned to Israel, a few of them, and they rebuilt the second temple. Hundreds of years later, well, here we see that the Jews, when they were exiled from Israel, down here, they also were, besides going to Babel, they also settled themselves in Egypt, in a place called Elephantine, in Alexandria, and also in Babylonia.
Okay, you can stop there. Yeah. You can stop that, Jared. I don't want to spend any more time. You guys understand what happened? Do you understand what happened? They were at one time a race of people, and they got spread throughout the world. And that was called the diaspora. I call it the diaspora. She's probably got it right, the diaspora. And so we have to go back. We have to ask ourselves, what was the lineage of Jesus? Jesus was out of the tribe of Benjamin, right? Okay, y'all with me? Am I got anybody confused yet? Because this is critical, see. That's why it says, as Tim put over here on the side, we read the other day, not all Israel's Israel. And he said to be careful of those who say they are Jews and are not, because they are of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? Now, this video I want to show you, it just can do a better job than I can do it. And I just want to bring clarity to you. Jared, show that other video that says on it. I've changed something up here on me, Jared. It's 12 minutes, but it's really good. It's called The 12 Tribes. You can get rid of this one, The 12 Tribes. This explains to us.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now many today think that the people in the state of Israel are the only remainder of God's holy people. The Jews are the only people left of God's demonstration people. And if we as a nation do not bless and follow the Jews, then we are cursed. They base this on the verses I just read. Well, we will learn that this is not the case. The state of Israel was established in 1948, and we have been backing them ever since. Everything that goes through the United Nations against them gets vetoed. Everything we see happening in the Middle East is based on either oil or protecting the state of Israel. With the kindest of hearts and the best of intentions, I do not see a lot of blessings being poured out upon this land of ours. Rather, I see more evil coming in upon us. We have lost world influence and resources. Politicians buying into this deception has led us into a path of judgment and hatred from the world over. I will explain this further in a moment. All 12 male children of Jacob, all 12 tribes, have inheritance claims. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. How many times have we heard Abraham the Jew, Isaac the Jew, Moses the Jew, and how he led thousands of Jews out of Egyptian bondage? The fact is, none of these people were Jews, they were Hebrew. Abraham, a Hebrew, was the father of Isaac, a Hebrew, and Isaac was in turn father of Jacob, a Hebrew. After a vision from God and wrestling with the angel, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob Israel, therefore, was the very first Israelite. Jacob Israel had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. These are all Israelites, for they are all from the seed of Jacob Israel. The Jews are descendants from the tribe of Judah, Jacob Israel's fourth son. Let me use this analogy to drive home the point. All salmon are fish, but not all fish are salmon. In the same way, all bloodline Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. With this in mind, consider this too. Even if all the people who call themselves Jews today could trace their bloodlines back to Abraham, and believe me, they cannot, they would only be entitled to 1/12 of the inheritance God set aside in the book of Genesis. The lineage of Judah, the Jews, are but one of 12 tribes. But all Jews are not from the tribe of Judah.
Stop.
Many became Jews by faith.
Go ahead. You understand, folks? Jews were short for Judean, from the tribe of Judah. They're not all Hebrews, all Israelites. The term Jew does not cover all of Israel. Are you with me so far? We okay? Keep going there, Chad.
All right, Jared, I'm sorry. Of the Jews. These people became Jews by faith, practice, and even underwent ritualistic circumcision.
They converted.
For example, my neighbor can convert to the Jewish religion of Judaism and have his genitals cut. Does this make him a descendant of Judah? No, of course not. He becomes Jewish or a Jew by religion only. He practices Judaism, the Jewish religion. In the apocryphal book of Maccabees, we learn how the Jews went out conquering and they gave people a choice. Either become a Jew or we'll lop off your head. So people like the Edomites from the cursed lineage of Esau became Jews. And within 80 years, an Edomite was on the throne, King Herod the Great. He was the man who ordered all the children in Bethlehem to be killed when Jesus was born.
Not even from
around
the lineage of Jesus.
Around 800 AD, there was a group of people living near the Crimea along the Caspian Sea. They were a pagan people called Khazars. Now Christians wanted them to become Christians. Muslims wanted them to become Muslim. They were getting pressed from both sides. And you know what they did? They said they would not become Christian because the Muslims would attack us. We don't want to become Muslim because the Christians would attack us. So they became Jews instead. They accepted Jewish rites and ceremonies. The first Jewish king, Bulan, went through ritualistic circumcision, and they all became Jews. A later king, Obadiah, strengthened Judaism by inviting rabbis into the kingdom and built many synagogues. A well-known Jewish author, Arthur Koestler, has published a book entitled The 13th Tribe, in which he proves that Eastern European Jews are neither Israelite or Semites, but are instead Khazars, Mongols, and Huns. This book, along with the Jewish Encyclopedia, clearly shows a Jewish Khazar kingdom existing there for hundreds of years. And the descendants of these people are known as Ashkenazi Jews today. The head Jewish rabbis acknowledged that the Jews, as we know them today, are only from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. And they pray that someday in the future, they will be reunited with their lost brethren. It is ironic that Christendom was the one that began to proclaim that the Jews were the only one left of God's covenant people, Israel. They claim the Jews are the only part of Israel on earth we can find today. And if we want to be blessed, we must support them. We must back them. The first effect from this error in teachings is found in the late 1800s and from the first part of the 1900s, when there was a terrible upsurge in atheism and agnosticism. Charles Bradlaugh, in Great Britain, and another man named Robert G. Ingersoll, an American, had great atheist meetings, and they read directly from scriptures. They read how Israel was supposed to be a great nation, a commonwealth of nations, which was to hold the gates of their enemies and bless the earth worldwide. They read all these passages and then proclaimed, "Hey, none of this is true. The God of your Christian faith failed dismally. There is only this pathetic little group of a few million people calling themselves Jews. Your God broke his promise, or he couldn't keep the promise because he doesn't exist." As a result, the Bible was seriously undermined, and the churches were largely responsible for what happened because they failed to rightly identify Israel. This is a quick history lesson regarding the tribes of Israel. In 1004 BC, King David ruled over the United Kingdom, conquered Jerusalem, and enlarged the Empire of Israel. Solomon,
Hebrew,
known for his wisdom, followed David and built the first temple in Jerusalem on the threshing floor where the two Muslim mosques sit today.
He's a Hebrew.
After Solomon's death in 922 BC, the leaders of the northern tribes rejected Rehoboam's claim of sovereignty and appointed Jeroboam as their king. The empire is now divided into two separate kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. God declared that Israel is his chosen or demonstration people, but it is the demonstration of his judgment that takes center stage at this point in history. The 12 tribes would not heed God's warning. First, in 745 BC, the Bible tells us that the Assyrians came into the land from the north to pronounce judgment. Through the following years, the Assyrians deported into captivity the northern 10 tribes of Israel. Now this is important, they never returned. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. These people may have lost their identity as Israelites, but God Almighty remembered who they are. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. What's happening in the southern kingdom? Judgment is coming now upon the southern kingdom of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Why? Because they too fell into sin and the worship of idols and graven images. The Babylonians came under King Nebuchadnezzar, and Jerusalem fell in 586 BC. After many years, the Medo-Persian Empire defeated the Babylonians. Cyrus, the king of Persia, enacted a new policy which allowed exiles, including Judeans, to return to their homeland. God allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem so the bloodline of Abraham could be continued for the coming of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. So as we move forward, when I speak of Israel, I am speaking of the tribes or nations of Israel. When I speak of the state of Israel, I am speaking of the parcel of land in Palestine established in 1948. They are as different as apples and oranges.
Okay. Questions or comments there? I take that as a no. What's the point we're trying to make here? Not all Israel is Israel. And those who say they are Jews, but are not. And remember that the term Jew is only for the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah. Remember when they crucified Jesus and they put, what they put up on the top of the cross? King of the Jews, right? And remember how mad they all got? Why did they all get mad? Because he wasn't a Jew, they would say. Not a Judean. You with me? You with me? So the great deception. See, we can talk about a lot of things. Hey, am I sounding anti-Semitic here? I'm not trying to sound anti-Semitic. I'm doing history. I'm trying to teach us the truth. So what has happened, what is going on now since 1948, when the United Nations, by the way, created the state of Israel, that hunk of land, and we see the flowing back of what they tell us are Jewish people into Israel, there's only one problem. They're not bloodline Jews. Now, they are religious Jews. They are followers of Judaism. Help me, somebody help me, Mike. I feel like I'm on an island here.
You got to remember, just like you did the other day, you called out the 12 tenets or whatever it was of what it means to be a Christian. You have to do the same thing when you look at all religions. You have to see what the core is. And you got to remember that the Jewish people, or whatever you want to call them as their group, have a basic tradition of belief that they live by, and that's what marks them as separate from, say, Christians, because there was a great divide in the early church from the followers of Judaism, as we would call it, and the followers of Jesus. There was animosity between the two, and there was animosity all during that early period over which books of the Bible are the real books of the Bible, is, you know, however you want to talk about that. But there's a lot of history there that people do not know.
That's right. Have you guys ever watched commercials for Ancestry.com? Or now they have it. They now have the ability to figure out your lineage, by getting your DNA. do your DNA? My brother had it done. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago. I was what they called a Melunkin. Came out of Appalachia. My family did. And when people say, "Coach, what lineage are you?" I tell them, "Well, my dad was German, and my mom was British, I guess." But see, that's not even true. That's not even true. I have no idea my great grandfather's lineage. I have no idea. None. So therefore, when I do a DNA test, if they take a swab off my tongue and they do a DNA test, I'm going to be shocked where they tell me that I'm from. That would happen with most of us, see. But yet today, I identify as an American, right? I identify as American, a white American. Was it, you want to say that, Caucasian American? That's how I identify. My children do the same thing. They identify as a Caucasian American. But I don't really know where I came from. Do I have some black blood in me? Do I have Jewish blood in me? I don't know. That's why it was so important during the diaspora, and that's why it was so important for me, even the gospel of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is that there's no distinctions. It doesn't even matter what your bloodline is anymore, because there is no perfect bloodline. Now your blood is about his blood. Your blood's about his blood. It ain't about where you came from anymore. And the idea that what if I went back and did a DNA test and found out that I was, my goodness, I'm related to King Tut. Do I now have the right to go back and get all that stuff that's laying in that pyramid? Is that the stuff all become mine? See, the lineage is historical. Other than that, it has no significance. Jewish people are not blessed because of their bloodline. They're not blessed because of their bloodline. And Judaism is no longer a race of people. It is a religion called Judaism. Judaism. Hey, Rich. Hey, Sarge. You could convert tomorrow, get circumcised, and you could be a Jew. Yes or no? Does that now put you as one of God's chosen holy people? Well, that is stupid. That's what receiving Christ was about. You were adopted into the family. He already made a way for you. It ain't about your blood. It's about his blood.
Isn't Ivanka Trump a...
A converted Jew. And I got to say this, Mike. Jared Kushner ain't a bloodline Jew either. I bet you anything I got. Somewhere along the line, somebody in his family converted to Judaism. Because we know from, just Google it, folks, just Google it. Google bloodline Jews, and you're going to find out that it's almost impossible to find anybody with pure Jewish blood. Hey, Rich, do you have any, George, I say Rich because he's biggest, I always seen there. George, do you have any idea how hard it would be over generations and generations and generations and generations to stay married to the same bloodline? Your perfect Judean blood marrying another one, perfect Judean blood, and going down for generations and generations and never mixing outside of that. Do we really think that that's what happened? I'm a mongrel. Look at me. I can't even tell you my grandma and grandpa and great grandpa where they came from. I don't even know. Hey, can I tell you this? I don't even know if my great grandfather is really my great grandfather. He just said he was. I don't know. So there's no way for any of us to follow our bloodline, our blood lineage. Yeah, Raj.
What's the significance, though, that there is not any bloodline Jews, or they're very difficult to locate?
Well, the significance is then they are no longer God's chosen people. They're not his chosen people. Listen, we better come to the realization as who is this blessing fallen upon? Who? Is it upon those guys over in those Christ haters? I hate that you say it. The Christ haters? They're now the blessing of God's coming through those Christ haters? Are you kidding me? That's what we're supposed to be? And we Christians who've received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and the blood of Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, our blood, his blood has covered us, and we are now holy and righteous. And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one gets to the Father except by me, except for those who were of the seed of Abraham?
They?
Yeah.
So the religious leaders who pressed the political establishment to support Israel because they are God's chosen people are really giving bad counsel.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, because they aren't really those people.
They aren't really those people. There are many politicians who support Israel because of that pressure, but I think there are some that view it just as a place to be supportive of, as a democracy there, so on and so forth.
Well, yes, but Roger, remember this. How often do you hear this? Bless those who bless Israel. And so our entire foreign policy and the entire focus of the church is on that little plot of land with people who aren't even bloodline Jews. Somebody do me a favor. Somebody do this if your eyes have been open to something today that it wasn't open to before, that you're seeing something more clearly now than you did before. See, I'm feeling a lot of thumbs out there, feeling a lot of thumbs. So when we come back and we say that America is fighting, we're fighting Israel's wars. We all hear that, right? And we're doing it because why? Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Well, we better ask ourselves this question. Who's Israel? I'm not, are you talking about that piece of land? I don't doubt something important is happening on that piece of land. But you're telling me that those people there who hate Jesus are the ones that the world's being blessed through them? That doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the thing is that the land does belong to God.
Amen. All does.
Because that's where his son was. And that's the key issue for us to understand Israel, the land, not necessarily the people, because the people are not following what was originally a part of the plan from the Torah. And the thing is that you've also got homosexuality entering into Israel very strongly. I mean, look what they do when they have those gay pride things. That's not according to the Torah at all. I mean, they're supposed to be not laying.
Well, Michael, funny with just 3 minutes to go here in the show that you would stumble upon the Torah, because that's what we're going to pick up tomorrow. We have been so deceived, folks. We believe that the Jews, whatever that term means, are following the Torah, which is what? The five Old Testament books. That's not true. The Jews are following the Talmud. Now, do you know what the Talmud is? Well, the Talmud is the history. It is the teachings of the rabbis. It's the teaching of the rabbis explaining Judaism. Okay, that's the Talmud. The average Jew does not follow the five books of the Old Testament known as the Torah. They do not follow it. They follow the Talmud. I'm going to show you that tomorrow, why that's important and why that's significant. So as I wind down here today, I want to focus on this. We need to come to the to understand what we're warned of in Scripture twice. Those who say they are Jews and are not. What does that mean? They're talking about me? Those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, right? Jesus said, Paul said, not all who are of Israel are Israel. What's he telling us? And is it possible? You talk about the great deception, right? That the whole world would be deceived. Is it possible that we are right now hurtling into the future based on a great deception of who God's people really are? Listen, I'm going to ask you right now. We're going to finish up here. I'm asking for some of you listening out there to cover me in prayer. This right now, cover me in prayer over the next few days, because This is a third rail, boys. This is a third rail. And I'm just trying to open our eyes up to truth. That's all I'm trying to do. Just reading the truth so that we'd have a greater understanding. And those out there who are maddest at me couldn't even tell you who the 12 tribes of Israel are. They're mad. They couldn't even tell me. They couldn't even tell us the history of what happened in Israel. Couldn't even tell us the history. Yet their pastor told them. Pastor told them it's all going to happen because the Jews have returned to their homeland. Boy, oh boy. Sometimes it's not what you know, it's what you don't know. Coach Dave, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Pray for us.